I'm not sure I like this parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids very much. There are several things about it that bother me. It seems to reward attitudes which are quite frankly selfish and unchristian. For one thing, only half the bridesmaids are admitted to the wedding banquet, and they only get in after they refuse to share their oil with their inattentive companions. Their stinginess is the exact opposite of how I expect Jesus would have acted in that situation. For another, when the foolish bridesmaids trudge all the way back from town after buying more oil, they discover that the door to the banquet hall is locked, and their appeal to be admitted goes unheeded. There's a harshness there that stands in sharp contrast to the gentle forgiveness that Jesus so often preaches. And finally, that ominous warning, "Stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour," makes God seem like some ogre, eager to pounce if we let down our guard. But I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind. The parable presumes that we are familiar with the first century Palestinian wedding custom, where the groom goes to fetch the bride from her parents' home. While the groom is haggling with the bride's father over a reasonable dowry, the groom's friends and relatives wait expectantly back at his house, keeping a sharp eye, eager to begin the festivities as soon as they catch sight of the wedding couple. It was the task of the bridesmaids, the groom's unmarried sisters and cousins, to go out with torches to guide the couple home through the darkness. In other words, the bridesmaids had a critical role to play. A couple of years ago, I had an insight into just how crucial their role was. During a camping trip with some friends in the Sierra Nevada mountains, two of us decided to go out for a walk late in the afternoon. We hadn't seen each other for several months, and as we were walking along, we got so caught up in conversation that neither of us paid much attention to where we were headed. After about an hour of hiking and jabbering, we realized that we were lost. At first, it seemed amusing. We needled each other about our absent-mindedness. But as it grew darker and the temperature started to drop, my anxiety spiked. After several unsuccessful forays, my friend finally spotted a fire flickering in the distance, and we realized at once that it was our campsite. Immediately, my anxiety began to subside. Even though we still had a fairly long trek ahead of us, at least we knew where we were headed and that there were friends waiting for us. That, I think, is the sentiment behind today's parable. The inexperienced bride and groom are making their way home. No doubt they're full of joy, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like all newlyweds, they were also a bit anxious about their future life together as they stumbled along in the dark. All of a sudden, however, they catch sight of the bridesmaids' torches. Their friends rush toward them with rousing welcome. At that moment, the bride and groom are reassured that whatever the future may hold, there will be friends and family to see them through. That is the urgency behind today's gospel command to watch and keep your torches ready. The Paschal candle that occupies a prominent place in the sanctuary connects powerfully with this parable. Can you remember back a year and a half ago to when we celebrated our last Holy Week in church? On Good Friday, we remembered with sadness how Jesus' life was snuffed out on the cross. The light of the world was extinguished. The following night, at the Easter Vigil, we began our liturgy outside with the blessing of the new fire, and from those flames we lit the Paschal candle. As we processed into the darkened church holding the Paschal candle aloft, it threw off just a bit of feeble light. But gradually, as the light from the Paschal candle was passed from person to person in the pews, the gloominess enshrouding the church dissipated. The light of Christ once again illumined our world. That symbolism, the light of Christ shining through us disciples, is reprised every time we celebrate a baptism. After the child is baptized with water, she receives her baptismal candle. The godparent takes the candle and lights its wick from the large paschal candle, while the priest says to the child, "Receive the light of Christ. Keep this flame of faith burning brightly in your heart." I think that phrase, "keep this flame of faith burning brightly in your heart," is what Jesus is getting at in the parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids. But what exactly is the flame of faith? Above all, it is the truth that God loves us. It is believing unequivocally that what God declared to the Jewish people, "You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you," Isaiah 43, verse 4, God also says to us, God pleads with us, "Hold fast to that truth. Don't let it flicker out. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." Secondly, the flame is the truth that it isn't just God who loves us. Other people love us too. Parents, spouse, friends. They don't just appreciate us for what we do. They love us for who we are. Jesus says, "Let that belief grow within you. Don't lose sight of it." Finally, it's the realization that the whole purpose of our life is to love and encourage other people. Jesus urges us to keep that flame of faith alive in our hearts. You know as well as I do that there are things that threaten to snuff out this flame, attitudes that cause it to sputter, that dim its brightness. The light gets swallowed up, for instance, when we forget that God holds us precious. The light begins to sputter out when we doubt that anyone really loves us because they don't show it the way we want them to. We feel taken for granted. The brightness of the flame is also dimmed when we fill our life with so much activity that we lose sight of why we do the things we do. Why you go to work or to school, why you care for your family, why I say Mass and do the sacraments. We do these things not because they're our job, not to fill up time, but hopefully because we love the people we serve. But the reason for shielding this flame of faith, for keeping it alive, is not just so that we can have a warm heart. Like the torches of those bridesmaids, the light from our hearts is meant to guide the steps of other people. Like the brightness of a distant campfire that reassures distracted hikers, our flame is meant to sustain those around us whose spirits are flagging. The flame of faith in our hearts is meant to comfort and encourage other people. That's why Jesus appeals so urgently, "Be vigilant, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Not the day of our death, but rather that desperate hour when someone might need an encouraging hand or a soothing word. Jesus says, "Keep your flame burning brightly for them." Now, more than ever, when COVID anxiety disheartens many of our friends and family, and when a looming electoral campaign season threatens our nation with greater rancor and divisiveness, you and I are called to be living paschal candles, shining the light of Christ's truth on falsehood and disunity, and bearing the light of Christ's love to those in danger of losing hope. May God bless you and give you health.